This is the Superhuman Channel.
The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply. It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We have a great show planned for you today. During the first hour, we'll be talking with Dr. Janet Levitin. We're going to talk about this recent move by the City of Ottawa's Health Department to suspend 603 children for not being vaccinated or for refusing to be vaccinated. We're going to get into that and pick up the real truth and details behind that story. Then we're going to shift gears and we're going to be joined by Dr. Lara Sigurdottir from the University of Iceland. We're going to talk about how sleep disruption may increase the risk of prostate cancer in men. Just because you close your eyes and lay in bed for 8 hours doesn't mean you're getting good sleep, and what those effects on certain types of cancers may be. And this is obviously a continuation of something that I talk about constantly, which is the overlooked importance of sleep and its relationship to the etiology of a lot of different diseases. Okay, let's get started. Dr. Janet Levitin is a pediatrician and homeopathic physician who, while was in private practice in Boston, Massachusetts during 1986 to 2011, she moved to Cleveland to work with a good friend of the show, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny at the Tenpenny Integrative Medical Center. After seeing more than one case of sudden infant death syndrome after infants were vaccinated in the 80s, she has been an outspoken physician against the over-vaccination of children. Welcome to the show, Dr. Levitin.
Oh, thank you for having me on today, Carl.
My pleasure. Okay, so there's a fervor going on right now. The city of Ottawa has mandated that the parents of children who have not been vaccinated get their vaccination charts up to date. And obviously this is being seen as a heavy-handed position of the government there to try to force children to do so, or force the parents of children that are the stewards of these children to do something that perhaps they have either overlooked, which is one issue, or purposely have chosen not to do. And so what are some of your opinions about this, first of all? You pointed out some good things off the air to me, that there may be a way out for some of the parents that they just need to take, right?
Well, yes. What I was reading this morning on the internet in a news story was that, first of all, the Ottawa Public Health Department had sent out 5,500 letters. I'm not sure if perhaps some parents have responded, and it's now 660. But what they're doing is threatening suspension of the students who do not have up-to-date vaccination records. I'm not really sure how they're presenting this to parents, but yes, parents do have an option to claim a waiver, either based on their philosophical or religious beliefs. This is what I discovered by doing a little bit of research. But I guess my question is, how is this being presented to parents?
Uh-huh.
I think sometimes it's presented in a very heavy-handed way, you know, vaccinate or else your child cannot come to school.
I think that, you know what, and I that's fair. If in fact, the Ottawa Health Department is saying, look, we just want these records updated. We just want you to either, you know, get in one boat or the other. Have you forgotten to? If so, update. And if you haven't forgotten to, if you're choosing, tell us why you're choosing not to vaccinate, and assuming that it's one of the reasons that they allow religious beliefs and so on, then you're excluded. But the concern, obviously, is at least the way the National Post had presented the story, that Eric LeClaire, a spokesperson for the health agency, said some parents who forgot to vaccinate their children or who refused the shots outright due to pseudo-scientific claims The agency says that there are there's a lot of mistruths out there. And this is the thing I take issue with. The thing I take issue with is this purposeful downplaying of any of the potential risks of vaccination. Now, you've been obviously you went to work with Dr. Sherry Tenpenny because you have seen for yourself and believe that vaccines, while they may possess some value, also possess certain risks that are not conveyed to the end user. And in fact, in a statement by the health department there, they said, we have to fight really hard to try to show that vaccination next to clean water and sanitation is the most powerful public health tool that exists on the planet today. But they don't talk about any of the risks. So are we crazy, Dr. Levitin? Are we following pseudoscience, or are there really risks that need to be discussed openly about vaccination?
Well, you've made a lot of points, and I think they're all worthwhile points, and we could spend a lot of time on each one. But first of all, let's just talk about waiver forms, because I know in 48 states in the United States, and I believe, I'm not sure about Canada because I haven't had time to really study the issue, but I know in 48 states, and I know in Ontario that, I know in 48 states that there are clauses where parents can claim either a religious or a philosophical exemption to vaccine, meaning they're declining vaccines and they're doing it on the basis of their philosophy or their religious beliefs. Now, I know in the state of Massachusetts and here in the state of Ohio, you do not have to state what your religion is or what your philosophical belief is if you're choosing to claim these waivers. People in Massachusetts used to ask me, can they ask me what my religion is? And I used to say to them, they can ask you, but the law does not say that you have to tell them.
Oh.
And you can state that. You can say, the law does not say that I have to tell you my religion. Now, it's very confusing because these regulations vary from state to state. There's 50 states here in the U.S., and there's 50 different regulations that are each one worded a little bit differently. So I encourage people to know their state regulations and to understand what language to use if they attempt to decline vaccinations.
Okay. Now, the other thing that the health department tried to rally in their support for their position to vaccinate was to attack, no longer can we call him Dr. Andrew Wakefield, but Andrew Wakefield, who was a doctor and who published a case study on a child who spontaneously developed autism shortly after being vaccinated. And this particular case study was used over and over again by perhaps some anti-vaccination individuals who may have some zealot-like approaches, which kind of taints the whole message, quite frankly. And but the health department, they're saying, well, he's been discredited, his study has been retracted, and he's been stripped of being a doctor. And while all those things are true, he's never recanted his strong feelings about the accuracy of his case study.
Well, yes, Andrew Wakefield is English. He was in England, and he, you know, I've heard him speak a couple times, and I've met him briefly. And frankly, he strikes me as a guy who was a fairly straight academic physician. He was in the research hospital, and I think he was kind of part of the network, the research, you know, academic medical network. He and his colleagues did make some discoveries in some cases. It was actually not just one case, but a series of children who came to see him because of, he's a gastroenterologist working with intestinal and digestive problems in children. And a series of children came to him having some serious digestive and intestinal problems. And through the course of the history taking, it was determined that they also had some developmental delays, you know, right, autism-like features. And parents spontaneously reported to him that they had recently received MMR vaccines. So he and his colleagues put together a case series, which is not a study in the sense that we think of studies often being published. It's not a rigorous, it doesn't have controls, it's not done, by rigorous I mean sort of statistically
sure,
rigorous in the
sure,
same way that a double-blind, placebo-controlled
right,
trial, this type of thing would be. So, and he published this information stating that he believed that the measles, mumps, rubella vaccination might be involved in the pathology in these children and that more research was needed. Basically, I found an excellent article in a journal called the Autism File from issue 31 of 2009. I just pulled that off the internet today, and it's basically written by a lawyer who heard the charges against him and really wanted to dive in and understand the truth, because he heard the charges and he heard, you know, Wakefield refuting the charges. He wanted to know for himself, so he went sort of with the idea that Wakefield had to defend himself.
Right.
And the charges against Wakefield that he wanted to investigate were that his research was flawed, and that he was being paid money to... It's a little complicated for me to state all the charges.
Right.
But he researched all the charges by interviewing Wakefield and by looking at the, you know, ancillary information. And basically at the conclusion of his study, it says here, in my judgment, none of the arguments made by the critics stand up to close scrutiny. And this is a several-page article that goes into lots of detail. So, you know, what you and I were talking about before is this idea of sound bite when we were off the air was, you know, sound bite news.
Mm-hmm.
You hear a study, you hear something on the news, it's like a 30-second or a 60-second story, you take it and run with it, and that becomes your gospel. But things are just much more complicated than that. The vaccination issue is more complicated, that you have to scratch under the surface. You can't just say,
right,
oh, my doctor said vaccines are fine for me, I'm just going ahead with them all. I mean, you can do that, but, you know, buyer beware, because, yes, there is completely another side of the issue, and it's not that hard to find it. You don't have to scratch under the surface too deeply to find the problems that exist.
And problems do exist, and we're going to take a commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking to a greater degree with Dr. Levitin about some of those potential problems. This is all about informed consent, folks. Whether you choose to or whether you choose not to use vaccines, you need to know what the ramifications and gravity of either of those decisions are. But quite frankly, if you listen to the mainstream science out there, they act like, you know, there's no risk, only rewards from vaccines. And this is not true. And again, I'm not acting like a zealot and saying, oh, don't vaccinate your children. That's a decision you have to make. But how can you make an informed decision if all you're getting is a small portion of the information? Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Natural USA is the best whey protein in the world. Not only is it from Amish grass-fed cows inside the United States, but it's the only grass-fed whey in the world that is not heat pasteurized. Don't be fooled by other grass-fed whey products that are low heat pasteurized. Only the patented Chill-Rite process leaves all the natural fractions of whey intact to boost your immune system while building more muscle. And Whey Natural USA is also the lowest price for non-heat pasteurized grass-fed whey protein in the world. Don't waste your time on products that only deliver 15 grams of protein per scoop. Choose the best with 25 grams of protein per scoop. Whey Natural USA. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Whey Natural USA banner ad today to see why anything less is wasting your money. New from Rob Riggish, author of The Blueprint and SHR's own Blueprint Power Hour, comes the Blueprint Bulletin. Every month, Rob delivers the absolute latest and greatest information right to your inbox. Everything's on the table, including training, diet, supplementation, gray market products, and more. This is a fantastic way to stay one step ahead of your competition and use these secrets to up your game. Go to theblueprintbulletin.com or click the Blueprint Bulletin banner ad on superhumanradio.com to get your free introductory issue. Go to the blueprintbulletin.com today.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and
get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Have you ever been let down by so-called nitric oxide muscle pump products before? Well, prepare to be shocked. Vengeance is like nothing you've ever tried before. Vengeance leverages several different scientifically proven technologies to deliver what some users say are painfully explosive pumps. If you are satisfied with nitric oxide products that make you wonder if they're working, move on. But if you want a muscle pump that you'll not only feel, but others will see, train with a vengeance. Go to xfmuscle.com today and get vengeance.
No other peptide supplier has a more complete offering than Southern Research Companies. And no other peptide supplier can boast that all their research peptides are manufactured inside the United States in Tier 1 labs. Whether you're looking for IGF-1 Long R3, GHRP6, GHRP2, Melanotan 2, Mechano Growth Factor, or PT-141, or hard-to-find peptides like Triptorelin or Follistatin, you'll find them at Southern Research Companies. Free shipping on orders over $150. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Southern Research banner ad today and do business with the most trusted name in research peptides, Southern Research Company.
Could Altrian supplements be better than a Myers cocktail? Find out for yourself when you try Altrian C and Altrian ME. Using liposomal encapsulated technology, Altrian C's gel delivers up to 200% more vitamin C than pills or powders. The Altrian ME gel provides a high-performance blend of B vitamins and minerals. Make your own Altrian cocktail 100% risk-free. Call 888-437-6353 or order at feelgoodc.com. That's feelgoodc.com. Use coupon code FREE and ask about a free gift with every order you place. Order today at feelgoodc.com or 888-437-6353. Don't forget to mention coupon code FREE to receive your free gift.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
You know, something that a lot of people don't realize about me is that I pay for all the supplements that I use from sponsors on this show. And I have recently made a decision to exclusively use Way Natural USA's whey protein powder because it's sweetened with stevia and there's nothing else in it. No anti-conglomerating agents, no thickening agents like xanthan and gar gum. It's just whey isolate, stevia, and a natural form of flavor like organic cocoa powder or organic raw strawberry or organic raw vanilla. And I'm really trying hard to clean up my diet as I turn 55 this year because I just don't need more, you know, greater load of poison in my system. And so I hope those of you who have never tried Way Natural USA will give it a try because it's the single best protein powder on the market today. And I don't care who else's protein powder you're looking at. We're talking with Dr. Janet Levitin. We're talking about vaccinations and children right now. So, Dr. Levitin, is there any accuracy in the Ottawa Health Department's claim that all of this information behind the anti-vaccination movement is just pseudoscience and lies?
Well, I think that's a totally frivolous and ridiculous claim for them to make. Like I said, you don't have to scratch far beneath the surface to start to uncover the problems with vaccines. I have two files here on my desk loaded with articles pointing out the problems. And, you know, I was called to give a talk a couple of months ago to a group of home birth mothers, and they wanted to know about vaccines. And in my mind, I'm thinking, I've been studying this question for 30 years, so how do I hone down my knowledge base and give a cohesive presentation that, summarizes my 30 years of research? And so I decided to break it into a little chapters, each one of which could be a whole lecture or a whole book or a great big topic. But there's just so many levels at which to look at the problems of vaccines. You know, the first place I started was, you know, the anecdotal evidence. You know, an anecdote is, they'll always say to you, oh, you know, so-and-so got sick after a vaccine or so-and-so got sick after a medicine. But that's just an anecdote. It's just a one incident, and it doesn't have any scientific rigor. But I personally, the way I got started researching vaccines is I saw in my own personal career three babies die, or early on, and back in the 80s, three babies die of sudden infant death syndrome within 24 hours of being vaccinated. So it's not like every baby getting vaccinated had SIDS, but every baby I saw who had SIDS had just been vaccinated.
Right. Right.
And everybody around me is saying, oh, you know, coincidence, coincidence. But that just went straight into my heart, and I felt certain that there was a connection between those vaccines that had been given and the little, you know, four-month-old baby, DOA in the middle of the night. So that got me started researching. And back in those days, there was really only one book, and there was no on vaccines and the problems, and there was no internet. So it was a slow, you know, accumulation of information. But I know when my own son was born, he's 28 now, I was essentially afraid to vaccinate him. I didn't want him to be the dead baby in the middle of the night.
Right, right.
And so when you have, you know, one anecdote or two anecdotes, that's something. But we have now millions of anecdotes. We have literally millions of parents saying, my child got an MMR vaccine and began to develop autistic features. I mean, we have an autism epidemic, like one in
88.
I think it's one in 29. I think it's now one in 29 boys.
Boys,
well, that's,
yes.
Maybe that's New Jersey.
Yes.
And maybe one in 88, or the number keeps getting more concentrated. It
right.
might be one in 55 now. I mean, pretty soon, 50% of our children are going to be autistic. You know, research is being done between vaccinated and unvaccinated children. It's not publicized yet, but I guess the preliminary reports are saying that there's a vast difference in the health and the developmental status of children who are not vaccinated versus children who are vaccinated. So there's, you know, there's the anecdotal evidence. Like I said, there's so many levels at which to look at this.
So you know what? Parents struggle with this, right? So the parent wants to do the right thing. And I have to commend you, first of all, because what you are exemplary of is a physician who uses critical thinking. Most physicians, they follow doctrine. It's almost, you know, when you really think about it, when you follow doctrine exclusively, you become a zealot. So you're going to do this even though it doesn't stand up to the light of reason. But when you're a physician, you take that information and you apply critical thinking, you end up with the quandary that you did. Well, what do I do about my child? I see this happening. I know that all of my education tells me that not to fear it, it's good, but what I've seen, and I applaud you for that, because more physicians should apply critical thinking with their knowledge.
I was never one to just follow a routine if I didn't see the sense in it. First of all, I think it's important to keep in mind that vaccination, no matter how it's presented to you, it is an elective procedure. It's not something you have to do on any particular day or at any particular time, or frankly, even at all. It's not to cure a disease or a condition that's happening. It's theoretically a preventive procedure. So it's elective, and it should be presented in that way. So early in my career, I did use to vaccinate, but I would present it to people as, this is elective. I want you to research it and study it. I want you to decide what makes sense to you, what you want to do, what you don't want to do. Look at the pros and the cons. And I wouldn't start them before 6 months of age because I was afraid of SIDS. And I knew that the main window for SIDS was, you know, up to 6 months of age. So, and I would do them one at a time, spread them out, not do them if people didn't want them, do some of them. So my thinking has evolved since then, and I no longer do them, but I never presented it as a mandatory procedure to people.
You know,
but
you
have to put on a thinking cap.
I just had a thought, and it is dangerous. My audience is probably laughing right now. I wonder how many children who died of SIDS after being vaccinated were also C-section babies. And the reason I ask that is because we know now that the microbiome begins, it's kind of seeded as the child passes through the vaginal canal and out of the mom. And we also know that the immune system is what is trying to help this baby survive some of the assaults that the baby receives through vaccination and so on. And I wonder if children who are C-section babies and then vaccinated, if there's a trend to show that because of their lack of a robust immune system at that point in time, they succumb faster. It's just a thought.
You know, I don't know the answer to that, but I think it's something that's interesting to look into. You know, there is a woman, Dr. Vieira Scheibner, hopefully I'm saying her name right, and she wrote a book, was published back in 93, what's that, like 20 years ago now, and she, I'm not sure if I'm going to say this exactly right, but she was researching something about SIDS and baby sleeping position, and she found out, she was researching breathing in babies, and she found out that babies had altered breathing patterns after they got a DPT. She had some kind of a sensitive monitor on them. After they were getting vaccinated, they had altered breathing patterns. And I don't have it at the tip of my fingertips right now, but it's possible that she might have some information on that very topic. But she was a person who also went out on a limb back some years ago, and I think that her research was, you know, sort of buried or not taken seriously. She's one of those people who's probably thought of as, you know, kind of kooky.
Right.
But that might be a place to start looking to answer that question.
Well, I remember reading a study about two or three years ago that implicated a change in serotonin response in the brain of the baby immediately after and for about the following 6 weeks after the DPT vaccination. And this this particular research paper tried to implicate that that serotonin response is part of the alarm system, if you will, of the baby. If the baby is being smothered, it's this interplay between dopamine and serotonin that would wake the baby up, so to speak. And that that serotonin response was altered acutely immediately after and for up to 6 weeks after the diphtheria, pertussis, what is it, tuberculosis? Is that what DPT stands for?
Tetanus,
thank you. Shot. So I know that that's another theory of why the babies may suffocate, if you will, without waking up. But nonetheless, as you point out...
It's not that surprising. You know, you have, first of all, the stress response. Another thought is popping into my head, which is, you know, circumcision, which is another, you know, painful, stressful thing that's done to babies. But that's a whole other topic.
Yes,
but,
yes.
You know, there's the stress response of a needle stick, but... You start looking at the ingredients that are in vaccines. I mean, it's really, you know, just kind of disgusting and sickening. When I was preparing for this talk that I gave a couple months ago, I was, you know, reading about the different ingredients, and there's antibiotics, there's excipients, things that are in essentially inert but are used as binders or homogenizers, things like polysorbate 80, polysorbate 20. You know, formaldehyde, aluminum-containing adjuvants. Adjuvants are something that are supposed to make a vaccine last longer in the body or,
right,
you know, sustain its use. And then cell lines, including there's human cell lines used in producing vaccines, especially the viral vaccines, the MMR and the measles, mumps, rubella, and the chickenpox. And all kinds of animal tissues. I mean, it really is, frankly, disgusting.
Right. It's a, you wouldn't, let's put it this way. If they put it on a plate in front of you, you wouldn't eat any of it. And yet they're injecting it into your body. I had another physician come on the show one time and say that there's also some sort of gel, if you will, that actually causes an immediate and prolonged inflammatory response in the baby's body that is not part of the vaccination process, but because of the, as you point out, the excipients that they use to kind of keep everything what's the word I'm looking for? Keep it like an emulsion or keep it...
Yeah, keep it emulsified.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes, gelatin is in some of the vaccines, and that is one of the more allergenic, you know, substances out there. And now, something, I just have to bring up something that,
please,
has been so disturbing to me, that starting in, I believe it was 1991, they have started, they made a policy of injecting on a routine basis 1-day-old babies with hepatitis B vaccine.
Really?
Now, we have to think about how people get hepatitis B. It is either contracted through sexual contact with an infected person, sharing needles, you know, using drugs, or perhaps a lab accident with some body fluid. In the past, before the blood supply was, you know, cleaned and inspected the way it is now, you potentially could get it from a transfusion, a blood product.
Right.
But not in the current day. But yet, they are injecting every 1-day-old baby with a hepatitis B vaccine, even if they're premature, even if they're low birth weight. Maybe they're postponing it a little bit in the preemies. Why? There is no medical reason for injecting 1-day-old babies with a hepatitis B vaccine, because it's a disease that they essentially cannot catch. There is no way.
Yeah.
So, and they scare people with stories like, oh, you know, your kid's going to be going to daycare and another kid might bite him. Well, he's going to be going to daycare in a, you know, months or years down the line. Not everybody gets bitten, and hardly any children in our country have hepatitis B. It's an extremely rare disease in this country in children. So the chances of getting bitten by a kid with hepatitis B that's going to inoculate your bloodstream, it's just total absurdity. And thinking people are actually being scared by this type of nonsense.
Yeah. And you know what it is? And parents feel derelict of their duties if they don't respond when a physician or a practitioner is saying to them, you should vaccinate. You know, you're irresponsible. The message is you're irresponsible if you don't. When we come back, I want to talk about something else within this dialogue. And that is attenuated viruses in vaccines. We're talking with Dr. Janet Levitin. She is part of the Tenpenny Integrative Medical Center. The website is Tenpenny IMC for Integrative Medical Center. TenpennyIMC.com if you want to learn more. If you're in the area of Cleveland, Ohio, or I'm sure that they do consultations as well. So check out the website. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
Natural USA is the best whey protein in the world. Not only is it from Amish grass-fed cows inside the United States, but it's the only grass-fed whey in the world that is not heat pasteurized. Don't be fooled by other grass-fed whey products that are low heat pasteurized. Only the patented Chill-Rite process leaves all the natural fractions of whey intact to boost your immune system while building more muscle. And Whey Natural USA is also the lowest price for non-heat pasteurized grass-fed whey protein in the world. Don't waste your time on products that only deliver 15 grams of protein per scoop. Choose the best with 25 grams of protein per scoop. Whey Natural USA. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Whey Natural USA banner ad today to see why anything less is wasting your money. Usually something for nothing is worth nothing, but go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad to get a one-year Life Extension Foundation membership free, plus a $25 product credit. So what does that buy you? Cutting-edge information, knowledgeable health advisors, huge discounts on blood tests and supplements. Want to stay younger and healthier longer? Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad and become a Life Extension member now. No cost, no obligation, no kidding. Whey Natural USA is the best whey protein in the world. Not only is it from Amish grass-fed cows inside the United States, but it's the only grass-fed whey in the world that is not heat pasteurized. Don't be fooled by other grass-fed whey products that are low heat pasteurized. Only the patented Chill-Rite process leaves all the natural fractions of whey intact to boost your immune system while building more muscle. And Whey Natural USA is also the lowest price for non-heat pasteurized grass-fed whey protein in the world. Don't waste your time on products that only deliver 15 grams of protein per scoop. Choose the best with 25 grams of protein per scoop. Whey Natural USA. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Whey Natural USA banner ad today to see why anything less is wasting your money.
My friends are always asking me what I do to keep my face so youthful and fresh looking. I use RGCell Super Stem Cell Support. RGCell is the only cosmeceutical with penetrating anti-aging messenger molecules that activate old and dormant stem cells to restore your skin to a healthier, younger appearance. This helps to repair DNA, stimulate new cell growth, and aggressively eliminate wrinkles. You can learn more by visiting superhumanradio.com and clicking the RG Cell banner ad today.
You train hard. You push the limits of your body every day, and sometimes pain pushes back. Now silence your pain with Phoenix Kinetocream. Kinetocream is made using a perfect blend of natural ingredients and reduces inflammation and shuts down pain with its very first use. Listen to what one user said about Phoenix Kinetocream.
Training made me ache. My back, my shoulders, even my elbows. I rubbed Kinetocream on my shoulders, and in minutes, I could feel the pain go away. Not covered up by that freezing feeling like other creams. The pain was gone.
You can learn more about Kinetocream by visiting PhoenixBioPerformance.com. Don't let pain slow you down. Rise above the ashes with Phoenix Kinetocream. That's PhoenixBioPerformance.com. If you want to outlast, outmuscle, and outperform your competition with a high-powered, stimulant-free carbohydrate source that has zero sugars, you want Carbolin. Carbolin is the original high-performance fuel that will allow you to load your muscles with glycogen in minutes instead of hours. As a pre, intra, and post-training supplement, it will give you a hardness and fullness to your muscles like you've never felt before. As an endurance supplement, Carbolin has been proven to increase VO2 max by 2.8%. If you want fast absorption and sustained energy without bloating or cramping, get Carbolin. Go to AAEFX.com today.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. Just a reminder, if you missed the episode where Dr. Michael Smith from Life Extension Foundation came on and talked about the ultimate anti-inflammatory stack to help protect yourself against chronic inflammation but promote healthy inflammation, Life Extension has put together a four-supplement stack exclusively available to Superhuman Radio listeners only at 50% off their normal price. It includes Super Biocurcumin, Bromelain, Super Omega 3, and the S-LOX inhibitor, which instead of a cyclooxygenase, this is an lipooxygenase inhibitor. You get these for 50% off. Go to superhumanradio.com. Look for the Life Extension banner ad that talks about their free membership, because you can also get a free membership for 1 year for, just for being a listener. Click that at the top of that landing page. You'll see the order now button to take advantage of this amazing four supplement stack. Check it out. We're talking with Dr. Janet Levitin. We're talking about vaccinations right now. Dr. Levitin, I'm confused about attenuated viruses. Do most of the vaccines, say like flu vaccines and so on, these attenuated viruses, these weakened viruses, are they not capable of also causing the exact reaction or disease that they're designed to vaccinate against the development of?
Well, I believe that the people who developed the vaccines would say no, but we could talk about flu vaccines first. Now, to my knowledge, and new information is coming out all the time, but to my knowledge, the injectable flu vaccines that are currently on the market contain killed viruses, but the flu mist, which is a intranasal, something you sniff up your nose, an intranasal vaccine, that one does contain live attenuated viruses. So what that means is there's still live viruses in there. The word attenuated means that they have been altered in a way that's supposed to bring down their infective potential and cause them to just, you know, quote unquote, stimulate the immune response, but not cause the
Okay. So let's stay with this just for a second. So I am not a scientist, but I would think, using critical thinking skills, that all that's going to do is prepare my immune system for a weakened form of the virus, not the full blown virus. Number one. And the same would be true for the dead virus. My immune system, it's kind of like if you were a boxer and you were 250 pounds and you trained the whole time fighting a guy 130 pounds, but the day of your fight you were going to step in against a guy who's 250 pounds, you are ill-prepared to fend off that attack.
Well, yes, you've only been preparing for part of what you're going to contact.
Right. So this whole notion of attenuated viruses and dead viruses seems to me to be really hollow science.
Well, yeah, one of the critiques of vaccines is that it's only stimulating the now in a nasal vaccine this might be different, but injectable vaccines are only stimulating the blood-based portion of your immune system, but there's so much more to the immune system than just your blood producing antibodies against a particular substance. Usually when you encounter a virus or a bacterium in nature, it's going to enter through your mouth or your nose, with the exception of tetanus, where it's, you know, through the skin.
Right.
But your body's going to bring in to play a whole host of responses that are the complete immune system, the complete immune response, whereas with this injection, you're getting sort of just of the blood-based portion of the immunity, and it's not calling into play the whole immune system, which might be why vaccines wear off, why they
make you sick,
don't work that well, why they sort of put a biological pressure on bacteria and viruses to mutate and become a different mm-hmm. form, a more infective mm-hmm. form, which is what's going on with the pertussis or whooping cough organism. Even as we speak.
Right. Okay, so the next question then becomes, why don't pharmaceutical companies actually do the kind of rigorous research on the efficacy of vaccines? For instance, why don't they take, you know, two groups, one placebo, one gets the actual vaccine, expose them all to the virus, and see who actually gets sick of the vaccinated group versus the placebo group, and say, these things are effective. It's my understanding that no one tests vaccines the way they test for other pharmaceutical drugs, that the FDA then says, yes, you do meet this endpoint requirement. You can say this about that drug now.
Well, listen, why is a difficult question to answer, but I think you're starting to touch on the subject of money. They don't really want to do the proper research because it's going to come out that vaccines and many other drugs as well do not work as they are purported to work. I mean, there is a serious lack of accountability. I'm sure you're probably aware of this, but in 1986, a law was passed called the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act. And this law essentially shields vaccine manufacturers and doctors from being sued if your child or you have a bad outcome from a vaccine,
right,
whether it be an illness or death.
Right.
And the way I describe it is, since then, it's been like open season on our kids. Before that, we did have the DPT vaccine, diphtheria, pertussis, tetanus. We had polio, and we had measles, mumps, rubella. Since that time, we have had the introduction of the hepatitis B, the HIB, the pneumococcal, the
HPV,
the HPV, the hepatitis A, the influenza, the H1N1. What am I forgetting? Rotavirus. I think there's one or two more in there that I'm. It's like open season. Every time you're turning around, there's a new vaccine being introduced. First, they're recommended, and then they become required as part of.
Well, there's no liability for producing vaccines as there is for pharmaceutical drugs for, let's say, blood pressure or heart disease and so on and so forth, because the government has allowed them some sort of guaranteed immunity. And here's the real issue here. The government also has an agency that pays out when you can absolutely, unequivocally prove that a vaccine caused your child to develop a problem. There's a government agency that pays out. So what we're talking about is it's privatized profits but socialized losses. Those dollars that they, let's face it, government makes no money. They just redistribute our tax dollars. So it's our money that they are then paying to families and placing a gag order on them saying you can't talk about this. When a child...
Well, that's right, and only a small percentage of the people who apply... I've heard people talking who have applied for the compensation when their child has been injured. First of all, you get humiliated and raked over
right.
the coals for essentially years to most likely have your claim denied. A very few percentage of people who enter into that system actually get payment. Not that it compensates for a severely autistic or perhaps deceased child, at least may pay for the care of that child. But for every one who gets compensation, there are many who do not. When you start digging into, the CDC has continued to deny assiduously that there's any link between the mercury that is in vaccines or was more highly,
right.
more concentrated in vaccines in the past. They've denied that there's a link between mercury-based vaccines and autism. Therefore, if you go into that system saying that your child has autism, you're automatically kicked out because it is claimed that vaccines do not cause autism. So you have to go in with, developmental delay or encephalitis or something. You can't use the A word.
Right, right.
It's a scandal. It's a scam. As far as I'm concerned, it's criminal.
What would you say, and I know we're running low on time because you have patients to see, what would you say to parents who are struggling with the decision to vaccinate? First of all, what would you say to them? And then second part of that question, are there any vaccines, in your humble opinion, when you look at the risk versus reward, these are vaccines that really are doing us some good?
Oh, that's a tough one. Well, first of all, I tell people, read, research, sit, think, discuss with the relevant people, which is usually the parents. Don't, get into talking about it with all of your friends because it's not necessarily a good idea. At the same time, tune into your intuition and your inner guidance. You're questioning this for a reason. And then if you're not sure, wait a little while. Like I was saying before, there is no reason why a vaccine has to be given on a particular day. There is absolutely no reason, and as far as I'm concerned, it's contraindicated to give a one-day-old baby a vaccine. Wait. Take your time. In terms of vaccines that I think are worthy, well, it gets very tricky. I put the diseases into different categories for people. I talk about diseases like the hepatitis B that there's essentially no way your child can catch the disease, so why take the vaccine? Then there's diseases that we don't have in this country, so they're not really on my radar screen that much, and that would be in the current day polio and diphtheria. Then there's diseases that if you get them, it's not so bad anyway. When I was a child, I had the normal childhood viral illnesses, measles, mumps, rubella, chickenpox. I have my immunity to those diseases now because of having had them in the natural form. Mm. It's a little more complex to discuss that, but we do have limited time. But that's the general idea. You know, then there's diseases that are of a more serious nature that you do not want your child to get. And there I'm talking about a meningitis, which is, you know, bacterial and a very serious illness. So I want people to be fully informed about that. However, you have to take into account statistics. I mean, meningitis, bona fide bacterial meningitis, is very low incidence. If we vaccinate everyone in the entire country for that disease, we may be creating more side effects and difficulties than the actual rate of the disease. It's also a longer story, but the HIV vaccine has introduced the peanut allergy epidemic, which the medical community doesn't seem to be able to discover. But a historian named Heather Fraser wrote a book called The Peanut Allergy Epidemic, and she uncovered the fact that the HIV vaccine introduced the peanut allergy epidemic. You have to ask, how many children died of peanut anaphylaxis at the same time they were being, you know, quote-unquote, protected from meningitis? So there's so many layers to this discussion. It's, you know, very complex, and hopefully we put out some ideas to give people food for thought.
I hope so. I hope we, you know, I think that more than anything else, people become confused of what to do. And again, it's a hard decision, but it should be a hard decision. If you come away from this interview going, well, we didn't really learn anything, you did. And I'll tell you what you learned. These vaccines aren't that safe. You have to think hard about it. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Don.
You know, another thing I can say, having been a pediatrician in clinical practice for the last, over 30 years, I have seen very little downside to not vaccinating. Pretty much the only disease I see out there in the community in any numbers at all is pertussis or whooping cough. Partly because it does seem to crop back up when the vaccination rate goes down, and also because in the last couple or few years we've been realizing that the vaccination does not hold, it doesn't work very well, and pertussis bacteria are mutating and, you know, turning into more virulent forms. But, you know, pertussis is a disease that I have dealt with every year, a few cases. It can be treated with a combination of homeopathy, which is my expertise, which we haven't really talked about. There's a vitamin C protocol that keeps the symptoms at bay. Some people don't believe this, but if antibiotics are used very early in the course, they can sidetrack the pertussis. So anyway, I don't think of pertussis as such a horrible disease.
Right.
It's not something you necessarily want to have, but it's not so horrible. More serious in smaller babies.
Right.
You know, some of the press that has been coming out.
So, yeah.
Very little downside in my clinical experience to not vaccinating. Yes, there are cases of illness out there. I think one of the bottom line principles is we, as humans, are really not in control. So we want to try to do our best to live in harmony with nature, but creating lots and lots of vaccines and bringing out lots and lots of drugs is not living in harmony with nature.
Yeah, and obviously we're seeing some of the backfiring of this because these things that we're trying to protect against, they are just like us. They are designed to survive through downward selection pressure. They become stronger. They change. They morph. They change
and
again.
And much more quickly than we do.
Yeah, because they're very simple organisms. And so, you know, it's almost like maybe we're better with the devil that we know than creating a devil that we don't know. And there may be some truth to that in some cases. And the truth of the matter is, whether you're vaccinated or not, a lot of people still get some of these diseases, which comes back full circle to talk about the obvious truth that is ignored, and that is that these vaccines don't work to the degree that the medical orthodoxy likes to believe that they do. But it's unfortunate. Hopefully we have caused you to think harder about vaccines, if nothing else. You do need to make this decision, and you need to get as much information, because informed consent is what it's all about. Dr. Levitin, I know you're very busy. This was a spur-of-the-moment interview. I want to thank you so much for being on the show today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Okay, take care. All right, so stay tuned. When we come back, we're going to be talking about prostate health and sleep issues. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
call your battlefield after each training engagement, you must recover. Introducing the most complete, all-natural, and organic recovery formula, AM Nutrition's Basic Training, formulated by a military veteran. Basic Training provides the ammunition your body needs to recover and continue the fight. No fake sugar or flavors, no GMOs, less than 1 milligram of sugar and soy per serving, with complete nutrition no other company provides. Arm yourself with the healthiest recovery formula on the market, the body's ammunition, AM Nutrition. Join the nutritional revolution by going to muscleamnutrition.com. That's muscle, AMNUTRITION.com.
Recover!
AM Nutrition.
Electronic muscle stimulation is state-of-the-art for pain management and muscle recovery. Now from ABC Medical comes the Pain Pod. Pain Pod is a professional strength EMS unit and provides 12 therapeutic modes and 20 intensity settings. It comes with everything you need. Small, convenient, rechargeable, and portable. But make no mistake, Pain Pod delivers commercial-grade strength for immediate pain relief. The Pain Pod normally sells for $349, but for a limited time, the superhuman nation can get the Pain Pod for only $200, including shipping. Pain Pod comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Pain Pod banner ad today to learn more.
Power Block dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair, and they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937 or click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free brochure.
Summer's almost here. Are you ready to put on your bathing suit and hit the beach? Age Force can help. Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch for 1 month absolutely free. The Advanced 7 Keto and T2 formula with sustained time release delivery make this the most potent and effective fat loss supplement, period. Try it for 30 days absolutely free and see for yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today. What do you have to lose other than body fat? Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch today. Absolutely free. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad now.
Could Altrient supplements be better than a Myers cocktail? Find out for yourself when you try Altrient C and Altrient ME. Using liposomal encapsulated technology, Altrient C's gel delivers up to 200% more vitamin C than pills or powders. The Altrient ME gel provides a high-performance blend of B vitamins and minerals. Make your own Altrient cocktail 100% risk-free. Call 888-437-6353 or order at feelgoodc.com. That's feelgoodc.com. Use coupon code FREE and ask about a free gift with every order you place. Order today at feelgoodc.com or 888-437-6353. Don't forget to mention coupon code FREE to receive your free gift.
Power Block dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair, and they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937 or click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free brochure.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
4, 3, 2, 1.
Well, I got a couple minutes to kill here because my guest isn't due to come on until for another 4 minutes. So let's talk. Let's dish a little bit, you guys. Get closer to the radio. Uncle Carl wants to share something with you. What are you doing so close to the radio? Back up, man. You're giving me the willies. All right, listen. So a couple things I want to mention. Altrient has introduced their new liposomal glutathione product. This is really an amazing product. I am boning up on it. I'm taking two packets a day right now, along with my Altrient C and Altrient ME. These are three products that everybody should be taking, because just like the foundation of a healthy body is an anti-inflammatory products like Life Extension Foundation offers, it's also about antioxidants. We know that from shows that Adele Musa has done in the past, that antioxidants can actually increase lifespan in laboratory animals and slow aging. Because if you subscribe to the mitochondrial theory of aging, then you know that it's all about oxidative stress. And what is best to quench, if you will, the runoff of oxidative stress, but antioxidants. And vitamin C and glutathione recycle each other, and we know the power of glutathione. I mean, glutathione is the master antioxidant. And you can make some of it on your own, but supplementing with it in a liposomal form has the same benefits as what vitamin C in a liposomal form does. And that is, like Dr. Tom Levy talked about on the show, it's able to penetrate the cell without oxidizing in the process. Because when vitamin C in its normal form, if you take a powdered vitamin C supplement, it gets into the cell, but it becomes an oxidized form of vitamin C and then has to be recycled once it's in there. So what good is it? It's like one step forward, one step back. But when it's encapsulated in these liposomes, it goes through the cell wall without being oxidated, so it shows up to the party ready to go. The same is true of the Altrient vitamin C, as is the Altrient glutathione. When you click the Superhuman Radio banner ad for the Myers cocktail, be sure to add to your Altrient cocktail of vitamins, Altrient C and Altrient ME, the Altrient glutathione, and you've got all your antioxidant bases covered short of one, and that is vitamin E, and you can easily take a whole vitamin E supplement that includes all four tocotrienols and tocopherols out there to add to this. So just the way we came up with an anti-inflammatory stack for you through Life Extension Foundation, we have now also an antioxidant stack supplied to you by the folks at Altrient. Okay? All right, so here we go. We're going to take this one commercial break, and when we come back, we will get on with the topic of how improper and poor sleep affects prostate cancer in the men. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Usually something for nothing is worth nothing, but go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad to get a 1-year Life Extension Foundation membership free, plus a $25 product credit. So what does that buy you? Cutting edge information, knowledgeable health advisors, huge discounts on blood tests and supplements. Want to stay younger and healthier longer? Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad and become a Life Extension member now. No cost, no obligation. No kidding. Calling all men. The Men's Stack is here from Muscle Gauge Nutrition. The Men's Stack will give you the energy you need to train harder and the materials you need to build new muscle. The Men's Stack includes American Protein Isolate, Stimulant-Free Pre-Workout Alpha Rage, Muscle Pump Activator, L-Arginine, AKG, and Multivitamin Plus Minerals specifically formulated for men. Now, Superhuman Radio listeners can get this Men's Stack for just $99 and free shipping while supplies last. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge banner ad today. True Protein is now TrueNutrition.com. The company that gave you personalized protein blends has now expanded their offerings to include over 5,000 new products. Whether your interests are health and fitness, sports nutrition and supplements, or fitness gear and accessories, you'll find what you're looking for at TrueNutrition.com. Check out the new vegetarian and vegan product lines as well. Oh, and don't worry, you can still blend your own personal protein supplements with a full range of milk, whey, casein, beef, egg, rice, and soy proteins. Check out TrueNutrition.com today.
Summer's almost here. Are you ready to put on your bathing suit and hit the beach? Age Force can help. Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch for 1 month absolutely free. The Advanced 7 Keto and T2 formula with sustained time-release delivery make this the most potent and effective fat loss supplement, period. Try it for 30 days absolutely free and see for yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force banner ad today. What do you have to lose other than body fat? Try the Age Force Fat Burner Patch today. Absolutely free. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad now.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Okay. We talk about sleep on this show. Probably it's making some of you go to sleep. I hope it is, but I hope you're sleeping at night when you're supposed to. My next guest is Dr. Lara Sigurðardóttir, and we're talking to her from Iceland. And I will refer to her as Dr. Lara after this because I don't want to damage her last name any further. And we're going to talk about the implications of improper sleep on cancer, prostate cancer, especially. How you doing, Dr. Lara?
Hi. I'm just doing fine, thank you.
Good, good. Okay, so let's talk about the research that your group is involved in. Can you first of all describe the design of the study? Was this a direct research study that you did, or was this a meta-analysis? How did you perform this study?
So the study that was released yesterday was a research study. So the study covers a group of Icelandic men, and it's a population-based study that started in the year 2002. And there were over 2,000 men that participated in the study,
okay.
The age from 67. And they answered at study entry a couple of questions about sleep disruptions. And then we followed the men until end of 2009 and recorded the incidence of prostate cancer among the men.
So what were the most common sleep issues that you saw in these men? Was there a high prevalence of, say, multiple awakenings throughout the night, or did they sleep for short periods, or were these men who were forced to have poor sleep because, let's say, they were shift workers?
No, none of the men were shift workers, but they might have earlier in their lifetime, but because they were 67 years old and older.
Retired.
But, yeah, so they retired. And the main, there were four questions that we asked them. One question was about if they had problems falling asleep within 30 minutes. The second was about if they were waking up during the night. The third one was about if they were waking up early in the morning. And the fourth one, if they took any medication for sleep aid. So we grouped these questions into categories to see if they had, like, some special sleep problem, like a problem, you know, falling asleep and so on. And the prevalence was, depending on how we combined the questions, was from 6% and up to 20%.
Okay, so
the prevalence of this sleep problem.
Okay, so what was the number one of all four of these potential sleep issues that they were asked to report on? What was the highest prevalence of sleep issue? Was it falling asleep or was it staying asleep?
Yeah, it was more like falling asleep, yeah.
Okay. Interestingly, you asked about sleep aids. Was there a large portion of the group that was using sleep aids? And if so, did they present with better sleep patterns?
We cannot say if they had like better sleep pattern, but there were the men who we cannot also tell what kind of
sleep aid they were using.
What kind of sleep aid they were using, yeah. It could have been like just like aspirin or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it would be nice to know. Because it would be nice to know the difference between the ones that were taking, say, a pharmaceutical drug versus melatonin.
We don't have much melatonin in Iceland, so.
Really?
We haven't. No. It's not like in the U.S. where you can buy it from the supermarkets. You have to get a prescription for melatonin.
Oh, that's sad. That's sad. That's sad. I'm sorry to hear that. Okay, so anyway. Yeah. Okay, so the problem with most of these men was that they had a problem falling asleep. And so they probably stayed up late watching television and doing other things. And what was their prevalence of prostate cancer when they had this issue?
The prevalence of prostate cancer was 6% among the total cohort, among all of the men that participated. And so the prevalence was, it was a little over, you know, because we had to exclude some of the men who had, like, some sleep problem but did not fall into the categories that we made.
Right, right. Okay. So when you removed some of these individuals that didn't fit into a category, was there a much higher rate of prostate cancer in the men that had sleep problems? Falling asleep, actually falling asleep was their issue. Was there a higher rate of cancer in those individuals, or was it still pretty much uniform for all the men?
It was kind of similar, but the risk of prostate cancer, when we calculated the risk of prostate cancer, they were like twice as more likely to get prostate cancer.
Interesting. So now, did you have a group of men that actually did not have any sleep issues, that they fell asleep easily, they stayed asleep all night?
Yeah.
What was their risk? What was their risk assessment of prostate cancer?
Yeah, they were. We used them for the control group.
Okay.
And they were. Yeah, we used them as a control group. So if you just like try to imagine that we have two groups of men. And there are 100 men in each group. One of them has no sleep problem, but the other group has sleep problem.
Right.
Then we followed both of the groups for 5 years. We would expect that probably 6 men with no sleep problem would get prostate cancer, but in the group that had sleep problem, about 12 men would be expected to have sleep problem.
So the ones that had better sleep had a lower risk, you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. So clearly there is a linkage between poor sleep and prostate cancer. But this is really no surprise, because there is linkages between disruption in sleep and many cancers. Is there not?
Yeah. And there are more and more studies that are finding these associations. And actually, the WHO,
World Health Organization,
Yeah, they classified the shift work as a probable human carcinogen in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
But that was mainly based on experimental evidence, such as when you do animal studies and inject the animals with melatonin and watch the tumor growth or remove the pineal from the animals.
Right.
So that was mainly based on that, but also on studies among women who worked on shift, mainly nurses and flight attendants that have been shown that were at increased risk of breast cancer. But since then, a couple of studies have been made and looked at the association between prostate cancer and more other cancers.
Okay, so it sounds to me like the mechanism in the development of these cancers and poor sleep hygiene, for lack of better terms, is the reduced production of melatonin. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, That is one of the hypotheses, and studies have shown that if you are awake during the night and exposed to light, such as electrical light,
right,
the pineal gland shuts down the production of melatonin.
Yeah, it thinks it's daytime. It goes, oh, I'm done.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And we only produce melatonin during the night. So if you try to sleep during the day to compensate for the loss during the night, you don't produce as much melatonin and very little. So.
This is why I asked the question incredulously at the beginning of the interview, that you can't get melatonin anywhere, mm-hmm. as an over-the-counter supplement. Because it would appear to me that with the elucidation of this linkage between melatonin and so many different types of cancers, that doctors mm-hmm. would prescribe not pharmaceutical interventions for their patients who don't sleep well, but instead mm-hmm. prescribe melatonin or at least make it available on the open market where people can just walk in and get it. I mean, I'm going to be 55 years old this year. I've mm-hmm. taken anywhere from 3 milligrams to 25 milligrams of melatonin a night for at least the past 12 years because I started to have problems with sleep. I was offered benzodiazepines by my physician. I read up on benzodiazepines and the risks of not only that they're habit forming, but that they actually impair the normal sleep rhythmicity. And then I thought, well, I'm just going to take melatonin because that's what my body produces anyway. And lo and behold, I mean, I sleep great now. And even if I do wake up in the middle of the night to use the water closet, I still go right back to sleep because I have so much melatonin in my bloodstream from my supplement.
Okay, so that has helped you. Yeah, that's great to hear. Yeah, because like you say, like with many of the drugs, like benzodiazepine, they, can inhibit your natural production of melatonin.
Especially when you said aspirin, and I know what you mean by that. Mm-hmm. It's very popular here in the United States amongst very elderly people to take nighttime or PM formula analgesics like Tylenol PM because it has it has an antihistamine in it that makes you drowsy. But the problem with it is, never mind the fact that you're taking acetaminophen unnecessarily, but the problem with that is that those antihistamines, even though you may lay in bed for 8 hours, you are not going through the natural sleep cycles for 8 hours. So it's just as bad as not sleeping at all.
Yeah.
So it's really mm-hmm. amazing. All right, let's do this. Yeah. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to pick up the discussion with Dr. Lara. We're talking about the linkage between poor sleep and prostate cancer. For those of you guys out there who don't sleep well, if you're up a lot of times in the night, you need to find out why you're waking up. Are you suffering from mild obstructive sleep apnea? Do you snore really, really heavy? If you do, you need to address your snoring. And if you're waking up for other reasons, you need to address those too. And in the meantime, take melatonin. Because that's what your body is low on when you're not sleeping well. It's not low on Ambien. It's not low on PM Tylenol. It's low on melatonin. So why not take that? And for physicians out there listening to this, start prescribing melatonin for your patients, even though some little girl from the pharmaceutical company didn't come in and wink at you and say, hey, would you prescribe this for your patients? Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Usually something for nothing is worth nothing, but go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad to get a 1-year Life Extension Foundation membership free, plus a $25 product credit. So what does that buy you? Cutting-edge information, knowledgeable health advisors, huge discounts on blood tests and supplements. Want to stay younger and healthier longer? Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Life Extension banner ad and become a Life Extension member now. No cost, no obligation, no kidding.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
New from Rob Ragish, author of The Blueprint at SHR's own Blueprint Power Hour, comes the Blueprint Bulletin. Every month, Rob delivers the absolute latest and greatest information right to your inbox. Everything's on the table, including training, diet, supplementation, gray market products, and more. This is a fantastic way to stay one step ahead of your competition and use these secrets to up your game. Go to theblueprintbulletin.com or click the Blueprint Bulletin banner ad on superhumanradio.com to get your free introductory issue. Go to theblueprintbulletin.com today. Power Block dumbbells can replace up to 55 pairs of dumbbells in the space of just one pair, and they come in all sizes to meet the needs of all lifters, as small as 2.5 to 20 pounds per hand, all the way up to 175 pounds per hand, and everything in between. Check out the new Power Block barbells that turn your Power Block dumbbells into barbells in seconds, replacing up to 45 barbells. Or try the new kettlebell handle to convert Power Block dumbbells to kettlebells. Call 800-651-1937 or click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com for a free brochure.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
True Protein is now TrueNutrition.com. The company that gave you personalized protein blends has now expanded their offerings to include over 5,000 new products. Whether your interests are health and fitness, sports nutrition and supplements, or fitness gear and accessories, you'll find what you're looking for at TrueNutrition.com. Check out the new vegetarian and vegan product lines as well. Oh, and don't worry, you can still blend your own personal protein supplements with a full range of milk, whey, casein, beef, egg, rice, and soy proteins. Check out TrueNutrition.com today.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking to Dr. Lara Sigurdardottir. I'm sorry about that, Dr. Lara. I am tongue-tied with your last name.
Yeah.
But I apologize. Anyway, we're talking about the relationship between the sleep issues and prostate cancer. And I was just looking over the research, and clearly there is a 2 to 3-fold increase in the risk of prostate cancer in these elderly men who already are at high risk for prostate cancer, by the way. And we're going to talk about that for a second in a moment. 2 to 3 times greater risk, and in some cases close to 4 times greater risk when they don't sleep well. And obviously this becomes a real issue because elderly people don't sleep well. But interestingly enough, something else that elderly people don't do enough of, especially elderly men, that affects prostate cancer is sex and orgasm. We know that regular orgasms in men protects the prostate against cancer and benign prostatic hypertrophy. In fact, there was a study published 3 years ago that suggested that men who experienced a higher frequency of orgasm in their 30s and 40s were somehow protected against developing BPH in their 60s and 70s. And men who regularly orgasm, and we did this, we talked about this recently on a show, and I actually have the study. When you read the study, men who are having an average of 20 orgasms a month do not have any of the risk markers for prostate cancer at any age. So, what I would suggest to you men out there who are having trouble sleeping is wake your wife up if you're not sleeping well, because that may cure the whole problem right there. And I'll tell you something else, Dr. Lara. I had a thought about this a couple of weeks ago. I have not looked at thoroughly, I have not looked at the research on phosphodiesterase 5 inhibitors. But The companies that make drugs like Cialis and Viagra claim that these drugs protect against BPH, and obviously BPH leads to, some believe, prostate cancer, that it protects against it. And I am not sure, because I haven't looked at the research, but if it's protecting against it because of the increase in neuronal nitric oxide, then that is the intrinsic value of a PDE5 inhibitor's protective effects of the product. But if it's protecting because these men are now having sex again, that's the extrinsic value of a PDE5 inhibitor on prostate cancer.
Yeah.
So really interesting stuff. So,
yeah, I have from the literature, I have reviewed. There has been no link between benign prostatic hyperplasia or BPH and prostate cancer. So
well, that's good news.
Yeah, researchers I've never seen, you know, research showing any link between these two studies.
Okay.
Yeah, linkage between them. But I'm not sure about the, I have not seen either about the drugs effect, but
yeah,
that might be something I haven't mentioned.
Yeah, it's worth looking into, you know. Okay,
yeah.
So what do you hope clinicians and lay people, because we have a lot of scientists and physicians that listen to the show, as well as people who are just as smart as scientists and lay people, I mean, and clinicians. What do you hope that people take away from this research that your group has just released?
That we hopefully we'll see in the future is to see more studies on this subject and with longer follow-up time and hopefully more cases or you know, larger cohort study. So to address this association more thoroughly. And because I think this is something really important to look at since we are using the electricity now, just in the last century, for, you know, all kind of shift work, and now the computers and also allow us to work during the night or stay up during the night.
Right.
And, I mean, this is not, if you just look at the history of the human sapiens, we have usually just, you know, going to bed when it's dark outside.
Right, which is the way that's the way our the suprachiasmatic nuclei is designed to function.
Yeah,
but we challenge it every day. We challenge it. We turn the TV on, and you know, and that's why I had a friend of mine recently say we were at a function and they were giving away a 50-inch flat screen TV. They were raffling it, and he said, "Oh, if I get that flat screen, I'm going to put it in my bedroom." And I said, "There'll never be a television in my bedroom, never ever."
Yeah. Yeah, and that is one of the recommendations, because television and computer, they send the blue light to your retina of your eyes, and when the retina of the eyes senses the blue light, it senses it like it's a day.
Yeah, it fires something called a locomotive period, which is the period of time that your body is supposed to be moving around and not laying down and resting.
Yeah. Because actually around 10-ish p.m., the pineal gland starts to secrete melatonin and it decreases gradually until like 2 o'clock in the night.
Right.
And so if you are staying up, you know, until 12 or something, you are inhibiting, you know, this preparation for sleep.
Right. No, absolutely. And the problem is this, and I don't know how it is in Iceland. First of all, does Iceland have very short days regularly, or do you have winter periods where the days are shorter than than summer periods?
Yeah, totally. So during the summertime, middle of June, we don't have any darkness. So the sun only goes just about the horizon and then rises back.
Oh my
gosh! But during
the
winter, yeah. And we have long nights then, but during the winter time we have only like 3 to 4 hours of daylight. So we like,
Oh my gosh!
Produce more melatonin during the winter, but less during the summer.
I didn't realize that. It's almost like Alaska. You know, I hear stories about Alaska where they have, you know, it's daytime for 3 days at a time, and those kind of community and those types of societies, the government should be giving away melatonin for free and telling people to take it every night and go to bed, close the windows, you know, close the drapes, go to sleep. As a result of that. Is there a linkage between prevalence of developing cancer and cancer risk markers that seem to be attributed to a greater degree to, say, for instance, the summertime versus the wintertime or vice versa?
No, we haven't seen that. Mm-hmm. So, we haven't.
And while I was asking the question, I thought that's a stupid question because cancer is not something acute. It's in development for a very long period of time. Yeah. It's not something that's acute that you're going to say, oh, this happened and then that happened. You know, you can't do that with cancer. Interesting.
No, I mean, but now there's some indication that you can, you know, have cancer like for the man and prostate cancer, you know, if they get to a certain age, most of the men will have, just a benign prostate cancer in their glands, but would not do them any harm. So people are now also thinking if there's something that can affect the progression. So you can have latent cancer, but if there's something that affects the progression of cancer. So
it stimulates it to grow. Right. Otherwise, without that, it may stay dormant until you die from something else like heart failure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, this is all good. Anytime we have a chance to talk about the importance of sleep on this show, we do. For 9 years now, almost 9 years now, I've been talking about the importance of sleep. And you know, I don't know how it is in Iceland, but here in the United States, we have large organizations, huge businesses like the package shipping business, FedEx and UPS, and they really are 24-hour companies. And at night, they have people who work from 8 p.m., you know, to 4 a.m. or midnight to 8 a.m., And the same thing with law enforcement and the same thing with doctors and nurses. And so you have these people who are struggling with the decision to support their families and keep their jobs or do something that they know is going to increase their risk of dying of one of these diseases. And my heart goes out to people like that, to police officers when they have to work that late shift, or to casino workers, or to the people throwing packages at UPS because the packages are moving at night to show up the next day. My heart goes out to them because they're trying to support their families. They're trying to do the right thing. And what they're doing is also predisposing them to a greater degree of cancer. It's sad. It's very, very sad. To me.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah.
Dr. Lara, thanks so much for taking time. What time is it there in Iceland right now?
It's 5:30 p.m.
Okay, good. Okay, so now do you since you do all this good research and you understand the importance of sleep, do you go to bed early every night?
That's a really good question. Yeah, I mean, it's easy for me to tell others how they, you know, can improve their sleep, but I have to admit I stay too long up for, you know, with the computer.
Working.
But I'm working on improving that, going to bed and read a good book like 2 hours before, and
I go to sleep at 9 p.m. 9 p.m., okay. I'm in bed every single night, except the rare occasions that for some reason I stay up late. I go to sleep at 9 p.m. every night, and I've been doing that for years. In fact, it was one of the things that probably led to my divorce many years ago because I insisted on, I knew the importance of sleep, on so many things, on obesity, insulin sensitivity, disease, blah, blah, blah. And my ex-wife used to drive her crazy because she would even still make noise in the bedroom, slamming doors. I would put earplugs in my ears and eye covers over my eyes, and my children used to laugh because I would go to bed at 9 o'clock and my children would say, "Where's dad?" And then my daughter, my oldest daughter, Taylor, would say, "Oh, he's in his apartment." They used to call my eye covers and my earplugs my apartment because I didn't hear anything anymore.
Yeah.
But I protected my sleep, and it was the right thing to do because I'm healthy and I'm strong today. So.
Yeah. And the best thing is to go, you know, at the same time every night to sleep and wake up
Yeah.
You know, but at the same time as well.
Well, I want you to start going to sleep early, Dr. Lara. Okay? Because you know
yeah,
what? You know why, Dr. Lara? Because you are like, scientists are like the parents. And you know the old saying, they have an old saying here in the United States, do as I say, not as I do. But the reality is that the children do as the parent does, not as the parent says. So you must start going to sleep early, Dr. Lara.
That's a really good
okay.
point. Yeah.
You promise? You promise?
I will consider. Okay. I will promise it.
You can get up early in the morning and do your work. It's better in the morning anyway. Everybody's asleep too.
Yeah.
So there you go.
You're fresher in the morning. That's
okay.
true.
Thank you very much for being on the show, okay?
Yeah, thanks for having me over. Yeah.
My pleasure. All right, bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye. All right, so there you go. And more evidence that sleep is important. So please make sure you do everything you can to get to sleep at a regular time. I say 9 o'clock is a perfect time, but I'll even live with 10. Having a couple hours before midnight to be asleep, that's a good thing. Protect your sleep. It will keep you from getting a lot of diseases. It's a very, very easy thing that you have control on. I also want to thank who's on? Dr. Janet Levitin from the Tenpenny Integrative Medical Center in Cleveland, Ohio, for coming on and talking about vaccines. And I know that the vaccine discussion probably makes parents even more angst-ridden because now what do I do? But you know what? I'm sorry to say this, but if you are angst-ridden about vaccines, that's a good thing. You should not be complacent that because your doctor says, look, they're the greatest thing since indoor plumbing and sanitation. Don't worry about it. Take them. Don't do that. We have seen the medical orthodoxy tell us for decades now, don't worry about it. It's fine. It's good for you. They probably told patients that 100 years ago when they were giving them mercury, that's right, mercury as a cure for different things, right? Okay? So don't take anything your physician says. Don't take anything I say with gospel truth. Nothing. Feel a little angst and make that angst drive you. Instead of being on Facebook for a half hour tonight, chatting with your friends and checking out new pictures, get on the internet for a half hour and start doing research on vaccines because your kid maybe has a vaccine coming up. So there you go, okay? Thank you for listening to the show. We'll see you tomorrow.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.